Well, we are in the middle of summer series, and Pastor Lewis kicked off our summer series on Father's Day, talking about the power of our words and how we all need words of acceptance, affection, and affirmation. And then last week, Pastor Juan, our student pastor, came in and talked to you about the renewal of your passion. And he's passionate, right? Come on. He's passionate, and that helps us with restoration and rest. And if you've missed either of those messages, please go back on YouTube or jump on our app, and you guys can get caught up. But for today, I want to tackle a topic that I have to stay focused on. So this message today comes out of my own research, comes out of my own strategies, and comes out of my own prayers. And if you're taking notes today, the message would be rest for your soul. And I don't know about you, but it's something I'm constantly chasing is rest. And my wife and I have been lack of rest a lot lately because we got a puppy. So, said puppy decides somewhere around 4 o'clock in the morning, almost every day, that he's lonely because he loves us so much and he needs some affection. Hence, I'm up early. And so we put him in a kennel and we thought, this'll work, right? No. The next thing is now we have a puppy pen, okay, that goes in our bedroom. And that's supposed to keep him slightly working. So you know how this is gonna end, right? He's gonna end up in our bed, or maybe my son's bed. But really, all joking aside, lack of rest can really get us all into a bad place. So back to the topic of chasing that. And I'm not just talking about getting more sleep. I'm talking about letting rest infiltrate every area of our lives. But not all rest is created equal. Most of us, including me, assume that rest equals sleep. Well, a little bit of study on this, I found 7 distinct types of rest that if you're lacking even one of these, it could leave you feeling tired and just not put together. So we're going to be real practical on the front half of this message, but stick with me. I think I'm going to get in somebody's business before this is over. So the 7 are, the first one is creative rest. The next one is emotional rest, mental rest, physical rest, sensory rest, social rest, and spiritual rest. So let's dive in the first one. The first one is creative rest. And don't dismiss me thinking that you don't need creativity in your life. This isn't just for designers, builders, and artists. Creativity weaves its way into every area of our life. Does anybody out here have to make decisions? Do you have to solve problems? Without creativity, you can do neither. So here, we're gonna hit on 3 different things on each one of these topics. Symptoms, why it matters, and also what are some of the strategies. So what are the symptoms of creative rest? Feeling stuck, lack of inspiration, maybe in a creative field. Why does this matter? Because constant output without input will destroy creativity. It depletes it. And so what are some of the strategies? Spend time appreciating beauty, art, and music. So this is how it looks on the practical side for a guy like me. I love to walk on the Greenway trails here in Ocala out in the woods, put in my headphones, put on some worship music, and that is some of the place that I get the most creative ideas and just kind of get rejuvenated. So for you, you have to find what that looks like to work on your creative rest. The next one is emotional rest. Symptoms, feeling emotionally drained or like you can't be your real self. Why does it matter? Well, managing emotional burdens without expressing or processing them makes you feel incredibly drained. What are some strategies? Talk to someone who allows you to be fully yourself. Spend time with people that don't drain you. Come on. Not you guys. Not second service. People that don't drain you. Pastor Tim has taught us this for years. There's adders, subtractors, multipliers, and dividers. We want to spend as much time as we can with adders and multipliers, and as least amount of time as we can with subtractors and dividers. And if you think you might be a divider or a subtractor, there's another message for you coming in the future. But managing your emotional burdens without expressing or processing your feelings can be super, super draining. It's crucial that we acknowledge this step and we address it for our own well-being. Because at the end of the day, you are not designed to carry your cares. We were designed to cast our cares. But Here's what it looks like a lot of times, right? We pick up our cares. We got them all loaded up. We know exactly what they are because we rehearse them in our heads over and over and over, right? And we take them to the feet of Jesus, and we set them down right here at Jesus, and we start to tell Jesus all about him like he already doesn't know. And then he's about to take them from us, but we reach down and pick them back up, and we take them with us, right? Come on, right? Yeah. And so we got to go to Scripture on that and see what it says. 1 Peter 5, 7 in the Amplified says this, casting all your cares, all your anxieties, you have any anxieties? All your worries and all of your concerns once and for all on him. For he cares about you with deepest affection and watches over you very carefully. If you walk away with nothing else this morning but this, you probably need to memorize 1 Peter 5, 7 and pull that out of your pocket every time you need it. The next one is mental rest. The symptoms of this are racing thoughts, brain fog, trouble focusing, trouble sleeping despite being tired. That's one right here that I'm kind of guilty of. Why does it matter? Your brain needs downtime. You have to have downtime. Constant information, processing, and decision-making that's coming at you totally can get you down. What are some strategies? There's two. Take regular mental breaks. Walk away from whatever it is you're working on. Take a mental break. And this is one that I practice a lot. Practice brain dumping. You're probably like, what does that mean? Practice brain dumping. If you're to walk into my office, there's a glass board on my office. It's got chicken scratch, as I call it, because no one can really read my handwriting but me, all over it. I have a note in my phone. I have a note in my computer. I have a yellow notepad that I carry around with me a lot of times, and I write things down. The idea is this. Get as much out of here as I possibly can and get it onto something else that can remind me. It allows my brain the place to process. Another mental rest exercise is breathing. You're all like, come on, this is so practical. Try it. Everybody right now, breathe in your nose. And out your mouth. In your nose, and out your mouth. Breathing through your nose and out your mouth offers several benefits for brain function. Nasal breathing helps filter, warm, humidify air, optimizing oxygen delivered to your brain and potentially improving your cognitive process like memory and emotional recognition. It also activates the parasympathetic nervous system, promoting relaxation and potentially reducing stress and anxiety. We are always taught to what? Take a deep breath, take a deep breath. We say it to our kids all the time growing up, take a deep breath. But we as adults need to know in a hard mental spot, taking a deep breath could change your outcome. The next one is physical rest. Symptoms, chronic fatigue, stiffness, sleepiness, and I'll kind of throw in there crankiness because I'm sure that happens as well. Why it matters, your body needs recovery time from daily movement. So you have to prioritize quality sleep. Everybody say quality. Got to prioritize quality sleep. In his book, Emotional Intelligence Habits, Dr. Travis Bradbury talked about how important it is for sleep hygiene. He quoted a study from University of Rochester. They studied why your brain cells need you to get proper sleep. This is really short, but check this out. The study found that when you sleep, your brain can remove toxic proteins from its neurons, which are byproduct of normal activity when you're awake. These toxic proteins accumulate in your neurons, in your brain. Unfortunately, your brain can only remove them adequately while you are asleep. The higher quality of sleep, the better your brain does at removing these toxic proteins. So when you don't get enough sleep, these toxins remain in your brain cells, wreaking havoc and impairing your ability to think. So think about it this way. God designed your body to heal while you are asleep. But we must use the wisdom to do the things that God's telling us to do to get the rest that we need, not go and grab the next caffeine drink. Come on. I believe your day starts in the evening. In Genesis 1, at the end of verse 5, it says, there was evening, there was morning, the first day. It emphasizes a pattern, a divine order. There's evening, and then there's morning, marking the passing of a full day, where a day begins at sundown. So how you end your day is important. Look at the beginning of your day, and then think how you can start your beginning of your day when you go to sleep at night. And that's not by binging your favorite TV show, doing thumb workouts in the bed until all hours of the morning, or whatever it is, college football, that gets you from not being able to get enough sleep. By the way, we got like 55 days of college football, just in case you were wondering. But again, why is it the team that you like the most always the one that's on the 11 o'clock game and it doesn't stop until the next day? But anyways, we'll get off that subject for now. The reality is we all have something that hits us that causes us to take away from our day before our day has even started. So let's work with our bodies the way that God designed them so we could do his work. The next one is sensory rest. This is huge in the day that we live. What are the symptoms? Irritability, headaches, burnout from overstimulation. Why does this matter? Too much input equals overwhelmed. When it comes to our senses, too much coming at us is what causes us to be overwhelmed. What are some strategies? Turn off notifications, turn off your screens, unplug, dim the lights, quiet the environment. So on a Sunday morning, it usually has me here at the church in this room, in the auditorium here, ultimately for four services. Because before you guys get here, we do a full service just about, run through. And then we have three services. So the time the day is done, I've been in conversations, lights, noise, people, stuff happening, and my sensory input is like on max. I get in my truck, crank up the air conditioner, let that cool off, and then I ride with the windows up, with the music off the whole way home. Why do I do that? I am resetting myself so that when I walk into an environment where my son wants to play, the dog is barking, and all is happening, my sensory input is already calmed down so I can handle the environment that I'm walking into. Sensory rest is super important. Sensory rest is a type of rest that focuses on reducing the amounts of sensory input into your bodies. It involves creating and calming environments and minimizing stimulation from bright lights, loud noise, and distracting technology. And if you have sensitive sensory kids, this is super important to understand and really get how sensory works within us, because we have to help our kiddos in these environments where they can't help themselves. Sensory rest is actively minimizing the amount of information you take in. But just like your body needs physical rest, you also need a break from constant stimulation. The next one is social rest, feeling drained by interactions with people. Don't laugh because your neighbor's sitting right next to you and it would be that person that you're, no, just kidding. Social rest, feeling drained by interactions with people, why it matters. Not all social time is restful. Some people restore you and some people drain you, yes. This is important. Prioritize time with people who energize you. We have this amazing thing called small groups. Jump into a small group, go see Pastor David and the crew at the group hub, find a group that you could pour into your life and add to you, which will help you in social rest. Then the second half of that is allow solitude to restore you. Mark 1:35 says, Jesus gets away early in the morning to pray and spend some alone time with the Father. Solitude restores you. And your pastor says, solitude is full of God. Now the last one, and the one we'll spend the rest of our time together on, is spiritual rest. What are some of the symptoms of spiritual rest? Feeling disconnected, feeling purposeless, or this is a hard one here, feeling unanchored. Why does it matter? Being disconnected from our source is a dangerous place to be. Okay, am I talking to this, the second service here? Do you guys remember what it was like before you met Jesus? Come on, like I got one hand. One lady's over here being honest with me. Y'all remember what that was like, right? Well, that's what it looks like to be unanchored from our source. And you probably made the worst decisions on the other side of knowing Jesus, right? So it's important that we're anchored to our source. For that, let's look at Hebrews 6:13-19. It says this, for example, there was God's promise to Abraham. Since there was no one greater to swear by, God took an oath in his name, saying, I will certainly bless you, and I will multiply your descendants beyond numbers. Then Abraham waited patiently. Did he? And another service. And he received what God had promised. Now, when people take an oath, they call on someone greater than themselves to hold them to it. And without any question, that oath is binding. 17, God also bound himself with an oath so that those who received the promise could be perfectly sure that he would never change his mind. Here's the meat of the scripture. 18, so God has given us both his promise and his oath. These things are unchangeable because it is impossible for God to lie. Therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge can take great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. And here's the line. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. So what are some of the strategies when it comes to lack of spiritual? It could be prayer, worship, time in the Word. And you know a great place you can get all those in an hour? Yes, at church. It's important for us to get to a place and spend time with the Maker, the anchor of our soul. He made you and he knows exactly what you need, but we have to position ourselves in a way to actually receive what he has for us. So what does he have for us? Well, if you think about it, just a couple. He gives you peace. He gives you healing. He gives you a future. He gives you a hope, just to name a few. But we must dig in it for ourselves and find out what your promise is. Pastor Tim has taught us this for years. There is a promise in the Word for every problem in the world. Let me say that again. There is a promise in the world for every problem in promise in the Word for every problem in the world. I said it backwards. So it's important for you to dig on your own and find out what those are. So let's dive into some of those promises we find in Matthew 11, 28. We're going to read it in two different versions. The first one's in the New Living Translation. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and my burden I give is light." Then the Amplified, it reads it this way, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy burdened by religious rituals that provide no peace, and I will give you rest, refreshing your souls with salvation. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for following me as my disciple, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest, renewal, and blessed quiet for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." There are three promises I want to pull out of that scripture in our remaining couple minutes together. The first one is this: come to me. St. Augustine, the famous confession, says this: "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it rests in you." The rest that is offered by Jesus in his kingdom means freedom from the extra burdens the Pharisees and the teachers of the law laid on the people in those days and the additional rules that we come up with in our faith today. Jesus gives this invitation, but who is he inviting? He's inviting the weary. He's inviting the burdened. He's invited those exhausted by sin, those exhausted by religion, or even exhausted by life. I think that covers all of us. And his promise is rest. The Maker of heaven and earth says, "Come to me." Not try harder or do more, but come to me. Come to me, not a system, but a Savior. Then the next passage is, take his yoke. Jesus says, we take his yoke upon us, a yoke that is easy, a burden that is light, so that we find rest to our souls by taking up his yoke. So let's determine what a yoke is. A yoke is not the yellow part of an egg. I think you know that. It is a wooden piece, a harness joining two animals to share a load together. This wooden cross piece helps the two animals pull a share a load together. You can show that picture. These were custom made, usually for an ox, but once made, it fit like a tailored suit, carefully adjusted so it would fit and not cause any undue pressure or pain to the animal. The yoke was custom, tailored fit just for that animal. And Jesus says, my yoke is easy, or well-fitting. His yoke to us is well-fitting. Jesus, the masterful carpenter, custom made my yoke. And my yoke doesn't work for you, and your yoke does not work for me. So when we come to Jesus, we become yoke to him. He pulls with us. He doesn't take away what we're pulling. We're just not pulling alone anymore. But to walk in his yoke, to come along with him, for him to come along with us, there's a couple things that are important that we do. The first one is this: let go of the burdens you're not meant to carry. Burdens of guilt, burdens of shame, burdens of performance, burdens of expectation, burdens of just add yours into whatever the list it is that might be there. Let go of the burdens that you're not meant to carry. The next one is that we daily recommit to Jesus's way. What does that look like? We daily commit to Jesus' way. We surrender control and we follow his lead. When we're yoked with Jesus, we have to be in step with him. As we're yoked together, we have to follow his lead. And then walk with Jesus, not just for him. Let me say that again. Walk with Jesus, not just for him. Discipleship is a with him life, not a for him effort. He is not looking for your effort. He's looking for your heart. And the last one that has just been wrecking me this week is learn his rhythm of grace, a way of life that flows naturally when we're in step with him. If we are yoked with Jesus, then we are walking with him. We're learning the grace that he wants us to walk in. And then the last invitation is this: learn from him. Jesus doesn't just give rest, he teaches rest. A rest is not about circumstances, it's about the condition of our soul. So when Jesus says, "Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls," he's pointing at a way of living deeply rooted in three things: in trust, in surrender, and identity. Because think about this when you think about Jesus. He was misunderstood, but he didn't strive to prove himself. He was betrayed, but he didn't grow bitter. He was busy, but he was never frantic. He was burdened, but he was never burned out. He faced the cross, and he never lost his peace. How? Because he lived in perfect fellowship with the Father, always aligned to God's will and always resting in God's love. And now he says to us, learn from me. So what does it look like to learn from Jesus? Here's just a couple things. Sit with him in Scripture. Sit with him in Scripture. Walk with him in prayer. Follow his rhythms of rest and solitude with dependence on the Holy Spirit. Let me say that one again. Follow his rhythms of rest and solitude and dependence on the Holy Spirit. And then last, trust God the way he did, even when life doesn't make sense. You see, the rest we long for isn't found in avoiding hardship. It's found in becoming more like Jesus in the midst of it. Come on, that's a good place for an amen. It's not about avoiding the hardship. It's about dealing with the hardship and being more like Jesus as we're having to deal with it. As we learn from him, his peace becomes our peace. Let's read our passage of scripture again in the Message translation and just let this speak to you. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Then come to me. Get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. To have rest in our souls, we have to come to him. We have to take his yoke upon us, and we must learn from him. We're going to go back into a time of worship, but as I was praying about this moment and the transition into worship this week, I just really had it in my heart that I really want to pray something over you that has to do with the message, but it has to do with everything we have been learning over the last 3 weeks. And this is just a time for you to put your hands out in front of you and to receive. So if I could just have you close your eyes and put your hands out in front of you in a posture to receive what God has for you today. Well, Father, we come to you in Jesus' name with a purpose today. We set down the burdens that we are not designed to carry. You know exactly what they are. We surrender control to you because you are our Lord. We commit to walk with you, Jesus. We thank you that your burden is light and that you promised to walk with us and to never leave us and to never forsake us. And we do our best to walk with you. Would you teach us your unforced rhythms of grace? And Father, will you rest our souls in you? In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.